Well, I always enjoy talking with Sandy Chalmers and Michelle Reinen from the Department of Ag, Trade, and Consumer Protection. I wish I didn't have to talk to them so much. And the reason is that, you know, they're always looking out for scams and consumer fraud for you and for me. And unfortunately, there's always something new to talk about, and sometimes it's something old that's been repurposed, you might say, into a new look. So we're visiting with them again today. Sandy Chalmers, great to have you back.
Nice to be here, Larry.
And Michelle Reinen, thank you so much as well for coming.
Thanks for having us.
You may have a question, a consumer question. I hope you'll join in at 1-800-642-1234. You can email us at talk@WPR.org or go ahead and post on our Facebook page. Just look for The Larry Mueller Show. That's the title of the page. And consumer promotions, retailer promotions are everywhere this time of year. What traps should we be looking out for, Michelle?
Well, it's that time of year when everything is the good doorbuster deal or the deal of the day type situation. So you really want to pay attention to what hours those promotions may be offered for, because they could be very limited in their timing, how many they may have available. So you aren't expecting to get one if they only have five per store. So that limited quantities situation, or that you may only be able to buy so many of them. Paying attention to return policies as well, because they may differ on the deal of the day than the overall store policy would, or they could just differ because it's the holiday season as well. And making sure that you are actually being charged the right amount. So keeping that ad available and making sure you're taking those notes and that it is that specific model number. You know, it could differ. The deal, I was looking at something the other day and one color was $10 less than another color. So really paying attention to what it is you're picking up and that you're getting the right item there.
Want the green shirt with the purple polka dots.
It was teal versus blue in my situation, and they wanted blue. So, you know, some deals may require tickets and stuff, and we're past the Black Friday, Cyber Monday period, but they're still running on the weekends or Wednesdays or whatever day of the week is the hot item day, some of these promotions. So really paying attention to that. We don't get a lot of complaints in this area from consumers because it's happening in that moment. We hear about it. They take care about it. We hear about the disappointment factor. We do get some complaints and those get resolved, but it's one of those situations where you don't want to get caught off guard or be frustrated while you're out there with the masses.
Yeah, I had one situation where it pays to read the fine print a little bit. You could spend $100 and get a $25 or a $50 gift certificate back that you could then use with the same chain of series of restaurants. But then looking down, you had to spend that money by March.
Yeah, a lot of those bonus offers, sometimes it's within the next 30 days.
Yeah, so you really need to pay attention to that as well. No calls yet. Well, let's give that number, 1-800-642-1234. Give a call with your questions, comments, or experiences. Maybe you've got some to share with us. I know 1-800-642-1234, that's the number. A lot of toys are obviously going to be purchased. And toy safety always comes up as an issue. Michelle, do you want to talk about that as well?
Yeah, the big thing with the toys is who are you purchasing it for and who else is in the household? You want to pay attention to the age grading that's on a toy. It's not about the mental development of the child. It's really about the statistics and the science behind the physical development of a child. So the choking hazards and the suffocation aspects of it, all that age grading is based on those standards and the percentiles of children and stuff. So that's why three and under under choking hazard warning labels exist. Your child may be at one as brilliant as a five-year-old mm-hmm. type situation and could handle the mental aspects of that toy, but can they handle the small parts? And
yeah.
and that's a no there, because the choking, the throat development, it just isn't there yet. So watching for the age grading on a toy, the warning labels that will also then trigger, this is choking, this is suffocation, this could be burn hazards, electrical type situation. Looking for the testing certifications, it's ASTM, UL, Underwriters Laboratory. Though that indicates that that toy has gone through rigorous testing to make sure that when it's dropped, if it breaks, it doesn't produce sharp and pointy aspects to it that can then become a hazard. Yeah. And last year we saw the issues with the hoverboards and the batteries and the fires. There were the people falling off of them and the injuries, but then there were they just combusted type situation yeah. and garages were starting on fire. And they hadn't gone through those batteries, the UL testing, and they didn't have standards in place yet. So paying attention to that aspect of what you're purchasing and then thinking through, does that toy need some safety gear to go with it? And yeah. so does it need a helmet? Does it need you know, wrist guards, elbow pads, knee pads. Yeah.
yeah.
So, and if you're going to give a toy with small parts or to an older child and there's a younger child there, that's a safe place to play. Just the understanding, reading the instructions as well, and making sure that everyone understands how to use the toy properly.
Well, I tell you what, since I gave the number, we now have every line filled. So let's go to the phones. Kim and East Troy up first. Kim, hi. Thank you for calling.
Hi, I recently signed up for the Walmart Savings Catcher. So, in other words, if you make a purchase at Walmart, and then you scan the barcode, then they will credit you if that price is cheaper at another store. Well, I received an email saying that I did have savings. They did find some money that, you know, where I overpaid at other that was available at other stores,
sure.
cheaper rather, and I could not suddenly access my account. And so I was on the phone with them for almost 2 hours yesterday trying to find out what was going on and discovered that someone had hacked into my account. So in other words, they were using the savings that I was accumulating. So
oh.
I just wanted to kind of send out a warning to people that sometimes these types of apps and things like that promote savings really will cost you in the end.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much for that call. Sandy Chalmers,
yeah,
a comment.
Very interesting timing, because the FBI just issued a warning on this as well. And as these airline mileage accounts and rewards accounts have become more and more popular and more people use them, they've also become increasingly attractive for crooks to hack into them and use the savings. So make sure you're changing your passwords on those accounts on a regular basis. Make sure your passwords are strong, and use the same kind of thinking about your rewards accounts that you use on your bank accounts and financial accounts. If you have shopping accounts like Amazon.com that you use on a regular basis, now is a really good time to change your passwords. And then you might want to think about changing your passwords throughout the holiday season as well, and kind of limit your vulnerability to being hacked.
Oh, very good. Thanks so much, Kim, for calling. Really appreciate it. Helen in Little Chute has something for us next. Hi, Helen.
Good morning. What a great program for consumers. My experience during Black Friday, we needed four tires for our car. So my Christmas present, my husband's Christmas present. A major tire manufacturer was offering $70 rebate if you purchase four tires. So I thought, well, that's a good deal. And I ordered them online. And then the manufacturer said you have to download this form and attach your receipt that you purchased four tires to the form, which I did. And they were advertising this rebate until December. Well, when I downloaded the form, the form I received was already outdated. It was still, you know, November. So I made a comment when I went in to get my tires because I had my form. And they said, oh, no problem, we'll give you a different form, which then I got my new form, and that was the correct dates. And they said, all you have to do is attach your final invoice that you paid for four tires, attach that to this new form, and send it in. You'll get your $70 back. Well, I looked at my receipt yesterday, and I noticed they completely have a different address for me. They have the correct name, but a different address, different town. And so I could never get the rebate because the addresses are all... Oh. I mean, just to me, it seems like the tires are highly rated by Consumer Reports, but I'm disappointed that it just seems like they're really trying to avoid giving you the $70 rebate. So that's what I want people, your listeners, to be really paying attention to the details.
Yeah, it's a good point. Michelle Renan?
Yeah, rebates can be tough, and they've come up during the last couple of shows with different products because it's that fine print. What do you have to do? What hoops do you have to jump through in order to get the rebate? And in what form does a rebate come? Is it actually cash back or is it store credit that you can use there again in the future? With this situation, I'd file a complaint, but I'd also, before doing that, go back to the retailer and ask them if they'll update your account to change your address and reprint you that receipt with your proper address information. People move between purchases as well, so because it doesn't match, hopefully you could still get that. And if not, you know, filing that complaint with us, because I don't think your purchase is conditioned on your, you know, living location, yeah, unless that was a term of the rebate.
It wasn't. It wasn't. And the address, I mean, I've never lived in Nina, ever.
Well, I
would... they had the correct zip code, but... printed it out as Nina. If you have time, I have one other question pertaining to a smartphone.
Okay.
Okay. I purchased a Samsung smartphone February from Walmart, and it was on, you know, like a basic warranty for 1 year. And I just absolutely loved the smartphone. The price was good. You know, I mean, it was... Yep. Not the newest model, but it was. I was thrilled with it. And then the last, after the 12 months, it refused to charge. Instead of charging the smartphone, it discharged the smartphone. So I went online, and apparently it was a fairly common problem that sometimes some Samsung smartphones discharge. You know, I wasn't thinking too much about it, but then it almost seems like Walmart, with these cheaper, you know, these not the current model phones, what they're doing is they somehow they've got their experts programming into the phone that the phone is going to die after 12 months, and then you have to buy a new smartphone. That was my suspicion. Then I walked into Walmart about a month ago, and as you go into the entrance in Appleton, there's a big machine that will now buy your smartphone for, you know, real cheap. It's almost like a Coke machine. Turn in your old smartphones here. And it just seems like it's something that Walmart is scamming some of us consumers.
Well, let's get a comment here from somebody, which, Sandy, do you want to take that?
Yeah, smartphones are a pretty big investment for most people, and it is frustrating when they don't last. You might want to talk to Walmart customer service about this and see what they're willing to do for you. They may be willing to give you a discount on a new phone or something. Or replace the phone, but you'll probably have to be pretty aggressive in standing up for yourself. But you could either go to the store where you bought it and talk to the customer service people, or you could go to the Walmart website and click on the customer service link and get somebody to chat with you on it.
Yeah, that's probably the best approach at this point. And you can always still file a complaint down the road if you don't get what you're satisfied with.
Sure, and if nothing else, we'll be in go-between between you and Walmart to see what we can do for you.
How do you get that form, or what? How do you file a complaint?
You can go to our our website at datcp.wi.gov and click on file a complaint, and you'll see a number of forms there. Or you can always call our toll-free hotline number, which is 1-800-422-7128. And you can ask for a complaint form, and we'll put one in the mail to you.
Okay. All right. Thank you, Helen, for calling. Appreciate your call. Our guests today, Michelle Reinen and Sandy Chalmers from the Wisconsin Department of Agriculture, Trade, and Consumer Protection. I'm Larry Mueller. KP Whaley, our on-air producer here on the Ideas Network. Coming up at 2 o'clock today, Kathleen Dunn talks with the author of a book on Wisconsin native and entertainment legend Orson Welles. That's at 2. Right now, looking at consumer protection issues with our guests, Michelle Reinen and Sandy Chalmers from the Wisconsin Department of Agriculture, Trade, and Consumer Protection. Number to call, 1-800-642-1234. You can also email us at talk@wpr.org as well. Ernie and Madison up next. Ernie, hello. Thank you for calling.
Yeah, thanks for taking my call. Okay, we have a cemetery in Madison here. It's a certain amount of spots allotted to veterans in there. This is not what I called about first, I explained to the fellow. But I already have a complaint on file with you, and I'd like to discuss this since I have something on file with you. Is that okay?
Sure.
Okay. And we paid our fees. We paid everything up, and they just simply refused to give us a receipt. And I don't know what to do. No matter how many times they go down and ask for a receipt, they say the place that we're being turned and what we're paying for, it's not built yet. They're still working on it. So I don't know what to do, where else to go. Hmm. All we want is a receipt that we paid our full price for our internment and all the services and everything, and we can't get a receipt to put in our records.
Hmm.
And so you have no contract information or anything that they provided you outlining what that amount you paid covered?
Yes. We have the contract, but we don't have the receipt for all of that we're contracted for.
Okay. Did you pay by check or credit card? Some form that you would then have your own proof of payment as well?
Well, we have all of our proof that we sent our check in to pay, but we have all of our proof.
Okay.
But we can't get anything from those people.
Sure. And, you know, so the thing that I'm going to say is that they won't give you one and it's not there. And I think you indicated you filed a complaint with us already. And if not, go ahead.
This is a complaint for something else.
Okay, go ahead and file a complaint on this issue, but keep your documentation, the paperwork that they outlines what you've paid, and keep the proof of payment that you have. If you paid by check, your version of writing the check, but then when it comes back from the bank, that it was actually cashed by them as well. Keep all that in your records, but then file that complaint with us. Because in the state, there's no requirement that a receipt be provided, but that's your proof of payment from their side of their record keeping as well. But you have your proof of payment with your check or credit card statement or whatever that would be.
Yep. All right.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, thanks a lot for calling. Diane in Whitewater, your turn now. Hi, Diane.
Hi, thank you. I was wondering, do consumers have any recourse if they have a gift certificate for a restaurant or coffee shop or something like that, and the place without notice closes before you have a chance to use that certificate?
Hmm. You know, this is something that we hear about periodically, and there are no state laws that regulate gift cards or gift certificates in this way. So we advise consumers to kind of think about the future viability of a business before buying a gift certificate. And unfortunately, it's usually a smaller local restaurant, where this happens. if it does happen, you can certainly file a complaint with us, and we'll do what we can to, sometimes another local restaurant will accept the gift certificates as a goodwill gesture. That doesn't always happen, but sometimes it does. But the only way we would become involved is if the business owners knew they were going out of business and continued to take people's money for gift certificates, and that gets into fraud. So
All right. Thank you very much.
Yeah, thanks very much for calling. Some open lines now. You can get in at 1-800-642-1234. Give a call. We'll get you on pretty quickly. Let's go to Jason in Wausau next. Hi, Jason.
Hey, Larry. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I'm going to try to keep this concise and short because it's very complicated. We run a business, and there was a company in Minneapolis soliciting business in other states. Basically approached us and had a business-in-a-box solution to help us launch a new product line. They did kind of the heavy lifting. It was sort of relevant to our primary function of business. The bottom line is they set expectations during their sales process, and we decided to go ahead and launch the product line with their help, where they manage it and they collect fees and stuff. It's a service that we resell to our customers and collect money for. Now, we probably spent with them, we financed about $50,000 worth of equipment and then signed probably about another $100,000 worth of contracts for various overhead costs that we had to take on to start this product line. And in the end, they proved to be very unresponsive. The product that they helped us launch did not work at all for 10 months like they had said. It wasn't something that we could resell to our customers. And then essentially they turned around and just started denying any wrongdoing. We since have cut them out of the picture, and we're running the product line on our own much more successfully than we ever did when they were involved. But we did lose quite a bit of money. There were several other companies in other states that also ran into this issue. But the problem is that the contracts that we signed have arbitration clauses in them, and I guess I'm just curious if this is something that I should bring up to the Wisconsin Trade Organization to see if they would even, you know, investigate it. Because this company is from Minneapolis, or if I have a better recourse. We do have attorneys involved and whatnot already, so.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, the attorneys involved, I'm glad to hear that, because that is the direction we were going to send you in that issue. It's going to be a lot of details to determine if we would at all have any jurisdiction in this matter at all. If you want to file a complaint and some paperwork with us so we can analyze that, but I just want to set the expectation that we may not have any jurisdiction on it, but we need to examine some material. So you could file a complaint online and send in that, upload that paperwork. But we need to know, like, where the solicitation happened and transaction and what that contract says. So very detailed information.
Okay. Is there fees and stuff to do that, or do we just basically submit what we have and let you guys kind of take a look at it and somebody will call us? Or
yeah, you would just file it online. The state of Wisconsin, it's a service to consumers and small businesses throughout the state that we do not have a fee for those complaints.
Okay. Yeah, they did call us on the phone on our business line. That's how they were soliciting customers and stuff, and the contract negotiations and stuff kind of happen from there over the phone and in person. So it's just a lot of information, and I'm trying to figure out what the most effective use of my time is and where to take that information to try and get somebody to do something. So I'll take a look, and I appreciate the feedback.
Talk to your lawyer about filing that complaint, because if they're already in actions, we may not override anything when there's private actions going on, too.
Okay. And Minnesota have a consumer protection division as well, or not?
They do, but because of how this happened and what he just said with them calling, he would want to file with us.
Okay. All right. All right. Thanks. Okay. Good luck, Jason. Thank you.
Thank you. Yep, bye.
Nancy in Columbus, it's your turn. Hi, Nancy.
Hi. Hey, I have a question about, I bought some windows from a local contractor, and they had a lifetime warranty on them. And they were energy efficient windows, and now the vapor barrier in the inside is leaking and they're clogging. And when I contacted the contractor, he said, oh, they're that company that made those windows are no longer in business, so there is no warranty on them anymore.
Oh, Wow. What do you think about that, Michelle?
Yeah, that's kind of like the gift card situation. If you buy a product that has a very long warranty on it, it's going to look at the viability of the company. Will they be around? So how much money are you paying for the warranty aspect of it versus future replacement of normal longevity of a product, a window in that case? So you can... If you know they're no longer in business, then we won't be able to do anything. But if you're not sure if some other business bought them out and maybe bought that warranty, you could file a complaint, and we could see if there's anyone to contact about that warranty, because sometimes they do get purchased up in company transfers and takeovers and things.
Yeah, that makes sense. There you go, Nancy. And again, to file, it's datcp.wi.gov. To do it online, or 1-800-422-7128. Those are the two ways to go. And Rona in Rice Lake, it's your turn. Hi.
Hi, good morning. Thank you for taking my call. I just had a comment. I have recently become more involved in my parents' financial situation and involved with emails and regular mail and whatnot, and I am just terribly appalled at the... It just seems like as they've aged, they're getting more spam and more requests from people for money, or the reverse, making them think that they've won huge amounts of money. My dad's convinced he's the next winner of the Publishers Clearinghouse sweepstakes, and I'm really upset about all of this. I don't know how to help protect them from some of this, and I would be thankful for any advice that you had for me.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it is a huge problem, and we do know that seniors are targeted by criminals, especially in certain areas. Sweepstakes is one. Medicare fraud is another one. So you're very wise to be proactive on this. Probably the best thing you can do for them, assuming that they're in good mental condition cognitively, is discuss this with them on a regular basis. Keep them up to date. Just remind them on a regular basis about clicking links in emails and talking to people on the phone. We do have a publication called the Wisconsin Senior Guide, and it's a short little booklet that they can keep by their phone or by their computer and can refer to. And we've given away probably 10,000 of these or more over the past couple of years. So you can get a hold of that by going to our website, datcp.wi.gov, or call our toll-free hotline and request a copy.
And they'll just mail one out.
Sure.
Yeah, there we go. And in the meantime, in terms of computers, can you maybe sort of updating the junk file or, something like that for our trash? No, what is it? Junk file, isn't it?
Yeah, your junk or your spam folder. That's one way. The other thing is if they've done a lot of purchasing online, but they haven't unchecked the box that says keep sending me solicitations, going in and unsubscribing to those more legitimate businesses that keep inundating you with emails. And then the senior guide will have a contact information for reducing the amount of mail that you get. The Direct Marketing Association, you can minimize that and pre-approve credit card offers. So there'll be some tips in there to reduce that.
The amount.
Your traditional mail.
Yeah, there we go. Thanks, Rhonda, for calling.
Yeah, thank you. That's wonderful news. I'll go on the website.
All right, thank you. And Colleen in Green Bay, it's your turn. Hi, Colleen.
Hi. I had a question on items that have been recalled. Is there a time frame in which a company needs to act on when they do recall an item? I have one of those exploding Samsung washers, and I've scheduled about 4 appointments to get it fixed where the service person hasn't showed up, or I'll schedule a new appointment and they'll accidentally like cancel my appointment, and so I'm just wondering, what can I do to fix my recall of the item?
Yeah.
So recall lasts forever until every single product that was out in the marketplace has been accounted for. But as far as them being responsive and dealing with it, it depends on what their recall plan is and what they've submitted. At this point, I would file a complaint. If you've tried to set at least 4 appointments and they're no showing, they may have a parts problem, but that's not what I heard that they're communicating with you. So let us try and help you get this resolved. And that's also good information that the recalling entity, probably the U.S. Consumer Product Safety Commission, wants to know about how they're handling their recalls, and we'll do that too. So datcp.wi.gov, we have a complaint form there that you can fill out and submit.
Okay, thank you.
Mm-hmm. Thanks for calling. And let's go to Art in Oconomowoc next. Hi, Art. Thank you for calling.
Well, hi, Larry. My son had his health savings account card stolen, and the person who stole it purchased about $3,000 worth of merchandise, so it's totally gone. He's been trying to get reimbursed and was unsuccessful. It's been like maybe 2 to 3 months he's been trying. So do you have any ideas?
So health savings account card.
So in that situation, you've been dealing with the provider of that health, whoever operates that health savings account. If it was truly stolen, there may not be anything that they're going to do to refund that. But if it was an identity theft or a hacking type situation, then they may do a recovery on that. So filing a complaint, and we can help determine some of those details and get that communication going as to why they're taking the actions or not taking actions and get a better response.
Yeah. Has he been dealing with the health savings account provider or with the company that issued the debit card?
I think the company that issued the debit card.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So we'll want to go back to the provider themselves.
Okay, there we go. So again, datcp.wi.gov, that's the place for you to file a complaint, or call 1-800-422-7128. Good luck, Art. Thank you. Daryl in Elroy up next. Hi, Daryl.
Hi there. How's it going today?
Great. Appreciate the call. What's on your mind?
Well, I rent a business to an individual, and he has disappeared now for 2 months, and being a business, he has left it full of items of his business, and I was just wondering, it's different than residential, and without calling an attorney, can I start to remove that stuff, or what process do you have to do to get his stuff out of there so I can re-rent the building?
In a situation like that, you'd want to look to the terms within your contract, I believe, to see what you have indicated. Wisconsin State Statute 704 governs residential rental, and that rental situations and the landlord-tenant relationship there, and it has information about abandoned property and what can be done. But again, looking at the terms there to see how it applies to your situation, because it's typically residential property or non-commercial. Your situation, you'll want to look at your contract. It might be, you might have mirrored the same language, and then there'd be guidance there, but you'll want to see what you put in your contract about abandonment.
Yeah.
Yeah, we didn't have actually any contract. We just, it was a month-to-month rent, and okay. I heard through the grapevine he took off for Texas, and
yeah.
I sent a letter to the building, and I went and I posted one on the front door of it. And I tried his cell phone, his cell phone's not in service no more, and I have no last known address or nothing. And I even asked the local officer in town, and he said he wasn't for sure. He said the only thing he suggested was calling an attorney. And, they're expensive, and I thought, I was hoping to do something on my own, you know.
Yeah.
We only have jurisdiction over residential rentals. So for a commercial tenancy, probably your best option is to consult with an attorney.
Yeah. It's unfortunate, but maybe in a half-hour meeting with an attorney, you can get the advice you need to just remove that, those supplies or whatever they are, and and go on with life a little. Thanks, Daryl, for calling. I want to give Michael in Green Bay a chance to join us. Hi, Michael. Thank you for calling.
Hi, thank you. This is going to be pretty unique. I getting signed up with Amazon Prime, being an Amazon Prime member, which qualifies you for two-day free shipping. So I live in a small town, Denmark, actually.
Yeah.
And people that live within a certain distance of post offices are often forced to have a free P.O. box. And when we order products through Amazon, we don't have a choice or even know ahead of time to pick UPS or U.S. Postal. So in my case, what I found out is why I wasn't getting my packages within the 2 days that I'm paying for. And Amazon has in very small print in their contract that P.O. boxes don't qualify. Now, I was a postal employee quite a while back, this is a no-brainer. I know that the mail is delivered to the post office box or the post office no differently from any company like Amazon, and then it's handled from the post office, whether it goes into a P.O. box or whether it gets delivered to my home or not. Well, at first glance, this doesn't seem like a big deal, but when I started communicating with the postmaster, and this got referred to somebody higher, and I reached out to Jeff Bezos, the owner of Amazon, who claims that he is this, he reaches out to his customers, which he does not. Then I contacted Senator Ron Johnson's office, and they're waiting for me to sign a waiver so they can contact federal agencies. And what I'm contesting is that whether it's in small print or not in the contract, it makes absolutely no sense. And what I'm saying is that Amazon is covering up for something much larger, and they're using it for a reason to deny or to take pressure off of their fulfillment centers just to say, well, if they have a P.O. box, we're just going to cut them out of it. And this is how I'm handling it.
Yeah. Is Michael handling this the right way? Sandy?
Well, kind of a cautionary tale on the importance of reading the fine print. And if you're using a smartphone or even a tablet, sometimes it's easy to skip over the fine print because it's so small, you know. I can't speak to whether to what's behind this on Amazon's behalf, but from our perspective, a company has a right to set the terms and conditions of this agreement on Amazon Prime. So I don't know that we would have any jurisdiction over it. If he filed a complaint with us, we would certainly work on his behalf to get his money back on the Amazon Prime membership or maybe get part of it back.
Can at least try.
Right. We would certainly do that part of the mediation. We would likely forward his complaint as well to any other agency that would have an authority or voice in it if one existed.
Okay. So back to that datcp.wi.gov or phone 1-800-422-7128. There we go. Thanks, Michael, for calling and good luck. Larry Mueller here on the Ideas Network. Thanks so much for joining us on the Ideas Network. Larry Mueller here, taking a look at consumer issues with Michelle Reinen and Sandy Chalmers of the Wisconsin Department of Agriculture, Trade, and Consumer Protection. A couple of open lines for you at 1-800-642-1234. Give a call or email us at talk@wpr.org as well. Dorothy in Green Bay up next. Hi, Dorothy. Thank you for calling.
Yes. A month ago, I misplaced my glasses and I haven't found them yet, but somebody told me about this past service. I had the glasses made, they don't fit. I went back the next day, he refused to honor it and do anything or even re-examine my prescription. What should I do? So now I'm wearing some cheap glasses just because I need glasses to drive.
Sure.
On my license, and I love to read. I can't read the basic. What do I do?
Yeah, Dorothy, that would be something I would want you to file a complaint on. But you've gone back to the business and the glass. They just won't even help you make the glasses fit. Normally, they do adjustments and all those types of things with the nose and the ears and the tightening of everything. So that seems a little different than what we've heard in the past. Maybe if you have someone you can take with you to try and help you get that service. If you do that and they still won't do anything, then certainly file a complaint with us. And you can call, and that would be 1-800-422-7128. And we're there 7:45 to 4:30, Monday through Friday.
All right.
All right. Good luck. Thank you so much for calling. It's a strange one for sure. Wayne in Eau Claire has something for us. Hi, Wayne. Thank you for calling.
Well, good morning. I have a question. If you have any where to look for recommendations and reviews on these Christian health sharing ministries, there's four or five of those. Our traditional insurance is getting to be out of the question in terms of premiums. And I don't know where to kind of Google for reviews, but if there's any other place that could say, yes, it's pretty good, or no, it's a shaky thing.
Hmm.
Yeah, we don't have any regulatory authority over insurance, but the Office of the Commissioner of Insurance for the state of Wisconsin does. They may be able to tell you whether or not there's been complaints, but the state also doesn't really rate and evaluate against one business product against another. So contacting the Office of the Commissioner of Insurance may be something to do. And
they may even have or know of some rating agencies that we wouldn't necessarily know about through the Department of Ag.
Yeah, they could.
Do we have a, so it's, what is it again, the Office of the Commissioner of Insurance?
Yeah.
Maybe the easiest thing would be to have him call our toll-free hotline number, and then we could refer him to the...
To the correct number? Yeah. So that...
I actually do have a phone number in our senior guidebook. So
Let
me give that. That would be 1-800-236-8517. And then their website is oci.wisconsin.gov.
So
1-800-236-8517.
Okay.
I've got it. Thank you very much.
Yeah, thanks very much for calling. Appreciate it. Just another reason to get a copy of that senior guide that you're... we talked about earlier, because it does contain other information
it
that could
really,
be quite useful.
It is such a great resource, and it takes you through a lot of the most frequently seen scams, and then has just good basic resource information for you as well.
So that 1-800-422-7128, call that number, and they'll mail you one for free.
That's right. If you go to our website and you have a tablet or an iPad or something, you can download a PDF copy and have it right there with you all the time.
All the time. Yeah, not a bad idea at all. Fred in Sheboygan, thank you for calling. Hi.
Good morning. I have a situation I'm dealing with. I took a farm tractor in for some repairs, and before it was taken in, I stopped and talked to them. Then we had it hauled, and then I stopped down and we looked at it together, and I asked for a quote, and it was pretty much external work, all things that you could see.
Okay.
And he gave me a quote on two different things, and I called him like the several times throughout the time period that they had the tractor, asked him if there's anything I should know, or I'm in the area. One day I was in the area, I can stop down, and no, everything was great, and then... When he was done with the tractor, he raised the bill up a few thousands of dollars more than what the quote was.
Oh, did you get a written quote from him, or was it just all verbal?
There is a written quote, but I don't believe I got the copy. And he didn't. When I talked to him, he didn't deny the quote. It wasn't an issue like. You know, no, that isn't what I quoted. He didn't go there. He just, you know, actually, I talked to an owner and a service manager, the one that gave me the quotes. So there's you know, a little bit of a disconnect between the service manager and the owner. And it was for hydraulic work, and like I said, everything was pretty much on the outside, and he had a piece of inventory that he had in stock that he wanted to make work, but then when he made that inventory work, then it was thousands of dollars more to me. And no phone call, no, when I call him up, is there anything I should know or
what? Yeah. Well, Sandy Chalmers, what about this situation?
Well, we do have a motor vehicle repair rule that addresses this exact situation, but only with respect to consumer vehicles. So farm tractors are a business vehicle, so it would fall outside our rule. But if he would file a complaint with us, we would certainly intervene on his behalf and see what can be done here.
And so... Again, go to 1-800-422-7128.
Right, or file a complaint on datcp.wi.gov. And if Fred would upload any documents that he has, that would be really helpful to us.
Yeah, that would be very good. Good luck, Fred. Thank you so much for calling. And what happens when, say, Fred files a complaint? What do you guys do then?
Well, we let the business know that there has been a complaint filed with our agency by this consumer, and we go through what the consumer says happened, and we ask the business what response it has. And if applicable, we also let the business know that this may be a violation of Wisconsin law if what the consumer says is correct. So there is a lot of times some back and forth between business and consumer, but in most cases, our actions successfully resolve the complaint in some way, whether it's a refund or adjustment on a bill. But when we see a pattern of complaints, that's when we launch an investigation, and that can result in consumer restitution, forfeitures and costs, and in some cases, depending on the charges, jail time.
Yeah. So it's certainly worth it on his part to file a complaint and see what happens. Beatrice and Ashland, thank you for calling. What's on your mind? Beatrice, are you there?
Yeah, can you hear me?
Yes, can hear you now.
Okay, what happened was I'm from out of town. I went to Milwaukee. I visited relatives. I was with my granddaughter. We stayed overnight at the Quality Inn. And as we were laying in our bed getting ready to lay down, we looked at the window. There was a big bug cockroach, and there was one on the wall. Then I looked on the bed, and there was one crawling on the bed. We were only there 2 hours. So I shook out my stuff. I was horrified. And we got outside and went down to the lobby and told a lady, and I said, I would like my money back. They wouldn't give it to me back. They gave me the big runaround to call this person. I wanted to call a corporate office. I was on hold for like a half hour.
Yeah, and because you're breaking up, Beatrice, I think we've got the facts here. Went to stay in a hotel, cockroaches, decided to leave after a couple of hours, wanted her money back because they hadn't stayed overnight, and they refused.
Yeah, one of the newer responsibilities our agency has is the inspection of lodging facilities. So this is something that we would want to follow up on with her. I don't have the number right here, but if she goes to the datcp.wi.gov website, clicks on file a complaint, there should be an area where she can file a complaint on a restaurant, motel, hotel, or other lodging facility.
Yeah, and I certainly would do that. So good luck to you, Beatrice. Appreciate your call. I'm sorry we had the phone problems. Mike in Westfield, what's on your mind?
I was wondering, do you protect in the opposite direction besides just the consumer? Because as a small business owner, there's this lady that came to me, and as a real tiny small business owner with only two or two or three employees. We didn't sit down and read the entire law book, so we didn't know all the details, but she did. So she came to us, found the errors that we made, made us give her a refund. We later found out that's what her scam is to go to very tiny small businesses around the state, find the little details they didn't do so she could get refunded but yet be unjustly enriched.
Hmm.
Well, that's really interesting, and I think we'd like you to file a complaint on that. I would like to know more about what this is. Well, the answer to your original question is yes, the laws do work both ways in many cases, and we do have businesses that file complaints against other businesses, and some fraud specifically targets small businesses, and this may be a case of where that is happening.
It wasn't business to business. It was just a person off the street coming to us for a
right.
repair.
Well,
and then turning it against us. But then we find out she didn't just do it to our little tiny business. She was doing it to other tiny little businesses around the state to be unjustly enriched and be refunded for services.
No.
If you would file a complaint, then we could research this and get some of the details.
Yeah, I think I would. And you'd need to include, obviously, the name of the person and whatever address he or she had.
Yes, yes, please do that. And, you know, we hear about this situation sometimes in the residential rental practices, and the way that the laws are written do protect both the business owner and at the same time the consumer, because the business owner is then given rights on how to terminate a tenancy when the tenant won't pay their rent. You know, mm-hmm. there's ways for them to have them removed that are right there in the law, as long as they both are following those aspects of the rule.
Taking a look at consumer scam issues today with Michelle Reinen and Sandy Chalmers. You can join in 1-800-642-1234. Take a quick look at the news and then we'll be back. Stay with us. Unfortunately, there's always something new to talk about when it comes to scams and fraud. Larry Mueller here. Thanks for joining us today on the Ideas Network. And thanks, too, to our guests, Sandy Chalmers and Michelle Reinen from the Wisconsin Department of Agriculture, Trade and Consumer Protections. Great to have them along. And certainly, if you have a question or concern, maybe an experience to share, I hope you'll join us. Number to call, 1-800-642-1234. You can email us at talk@WPR.org, or you can post on our Facebook page. Just look for The Larry Mueller Show. That's the title of the page. And we'll go right back to the phones and on to Vince in Menominee Falls next. Vince, thank you for calling. Hello.
Thank you for taking my call. So my question is, I had some personal information get out there, and three different accounts were tried to be opened up in my name. They were out of state in Arizona. One of them actually was a credit card through Target, which came to my address here in Wisconsin. So I called them, of course, and canceled it. They sent me a form for follow-up. And the one piece of information that saved me on the other two attempts to open accounts was my birth date. And they had the wrong birth date, and that flagged the other accounts. To fill out the form for Target to cancel everything out, that's one of the pieces of information they want me to provide. And I'm just not sure how comfortable I am giving that back out.
Mm-hmm. You may have to do it, Michelle.
Yeah, if it's with their fraud department, I would get someone on the phone and have a real conversation with them about what they need and why, but they're probably wanting you to sign in almost affidavit form that this isn't yours, because then if they find out it is, they could take you back to court for the fraudulent charges, that kind of thing. But I want to move beyond these three fraudulent accounts and go into some of the prevention, or now trying to stop this if your information's already been stolen. Potentially consider contacting the credit reporting agencies. If you filed a police report, getting a fraud alert put on there so you're notified. But the other option is to put a security freeze, and that will prevent anyone from taking out any additional extensions of credit in your name using your information. And that can be, it's normally $10 for consumers to put that on, but if you have a police report and you are a victim of identity theft, that's a free service for you under Wisconsin law. So really consider doing some of those other things and then running a credit report as well, if you haven't done that, to see what else is out there that you may need to be taking care of and cleaning up.
Yeah. Okay. Makes good sense.
May I ask one last question? How do you feel on some of these companies like LifeLock or, you know, that offer credit protection for a fee?
Yeah, there are many companies out there, and so you want to check them out. How do they hold and secure your information? What is it that you're buying and will get in return? Because a lot of the services that they provide, you can do yourself for free, but if you're not going to take the time to manage, do that, and take all the steps, then you may want to hire a service to do it. But really check out how they secure your information and what you're getting, and look at different ratings and evaluations and histories on those companies.
Yeah, something else that might be worth your time at this point is to check your credit card policies, and if you have accounts, financial accounts with like a Thrivent or someone like that, if you have a Costco membership. A lot of those services now include some kind of LifeLock type services. So just make sure that you're not already covered before you buy a membership.
Yeah, very, very good points. Thanks so much, Vince, for calling. Bruce in Minnesota, your turn next. Hi, Bruce.
Hello. Hello there.
Hi, what's on your mind?
I got a question. I'm from Minnesota, but I bought a product in Wisconsin. And it was like $7,000 with a 5-year warranty. And about a year and a half later, the dealer went out of business. And so there's no dealer in the whole area. So I've been trying to deal with the company, and they've been kind of giving me the runaround on the warranty because they call around to some of the manufacturers that sell a product like this, and nobody will deal with me because they're not a dealer and don't want nothing to do with the warranty. So my question is, being I'm from Minnesota, do I file a complaint with you or the Trade Commission, or do I deal with Minnesota?
And did you come into Wisconsin to buy the product? Is that what I heard you say at the beginning?
Yes, I did.
Then file with us. Okay. File it here because the transaction and the representations were made here.
Okay.
And so that's datcp.wi.gov. You can just go online and file that. And any warranty information that you have, you'll need to upload that so we can see it.
Okay. Sounds great.
All right. Yeah, thanks, Bruce. Appreciate the call. Jackie in Milwaukee, on to you now. Hi, Jackie.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure. What's on your mind?
I wanted to tell you an interesting story. I got this very official certified package in the mail a couple days ago, actually. I'm not at home to read it to you. I wish I were. But there was a check in it made out to me for $1,250, and there was a letter in there, and the check looked very official. The name of the bank, there's actually a bank by that name, and there's a letter in there that says, please cash this check in your bank, you know, take it to your bank, cash it, put it in your account. As soon as you do that, email us and call us at this number. And then we will forward you more information as to what you should do next.
Hmm. You didn't do it, did you, Jackie?
Of course not. But I have all of the information sitting on my desk at home. And I thought, you know, this could be very tempting to somebody.
Yeah.
You know, to go and cash that, and then what are the ramifications of that? Then what, they have your account number? I don't know. It was very strange.
Yeah. Sandy,
yeah,
Chalmers?
That is kind of a new twist on what is a very old scam at this point. And it's I can assure you that the check is fake, and with today's high-tech copying equipment, it's not that difficult to counterfeit a very realistic-looking check. But the check is fake, and you'll deposit the money, and under federal law, the bank has to make that money available to you right away. And so the further instructions will probably be for you to send some of that back to them. And then the bank will figure out that this is a fake check and you'll end up holding the bag. So we see this a lot in conjunction with sweepstakes scams where they'll send you a check and say, well, send us back $500 to cover the processing fees. But in every situation, this is a fake check.
Sure.
There you go. Well, I'm glad you didn't send it, cash it, Jackie.
Oh, no, I didn't cash it, but I looked at that and I thought, you know, I bet there are a lot of people in my neighborhood that would have run right to the bank to cash it, especially right before Christmas.
Yeah, yeah, unfortunately. So I'm glad you called in with that. That'll be a clue to others if they get the same material. Thank you, Jackie.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Bye-bye.
Bye. Dan in Appleton. Hi, thank you for calling.
Hello, how are you?
Great, appreciate your call. What can we do for you today?
I received an email last night, and the minute I got the email and looked it over, I thought about you guys, and I was hoping you'd appear in the next couple of days, so it's a destiny. I got an email from our building manager. I own a small business with his name on it and saying, important documents for you to sign, and it sent me to a Dropbox. I went on the Dropbox site, and the email address did not match the Dropbox address, and his email address didn't match what's in my personal mail. What they're asking for is my name, my address, my phone number, and my email address.
Mm-hmm.
So it looked so legitimate until I started to look at the search bar. That didn't match up. And then I became suspicious. I went to my address book, and nothing matched. So I think that what you have to look, something you got to be careful of is, you know, it looks authentic until you actually go and look up on top and say, well, where is this coming from? You know, if I would have looked at that, I would have probably sent them everything. And then you've got, you know, you have your phone number, your email address, and they can go a long way with that. So,
yeah, glad you called on that. And Dan is right, isn't he, Sandy?
Yeah, email fraud is so... It happens all the time now, and you really do have to be careful about clicking links in emails that come to you, even though they look like they're coming from a friend or acquaintance. It sounds like your friend was hacked. So a reminder to change your email passwords on a regular basis.
I got one like that from one of the services that said, we've tried to send this to you. We're not sure that you've received it. Please click here, and we'll, you know, follow up with you. And I didn't click it. I thought, I have some things coming in the mail.
It seems like this time of year is when that email fraud always spikes because people are so distracted with everything else that's going on at this time of year and all the shopping and stuff. So be very skeptical of emails that you receive, especially when they appear to be from a friend or a big box retailer or USPS or FedEx saying that you have a delivery waiting for you. Just be very, very aware that email fraud is real. And if you click a link and malicious software is downloaded onto your computer or tablet, you're going to have a really big problem on your hands to clean up.
Yeah, there we go. Susan in Oconomowoc, thanks for calling.
Thank you. We recently discovered that we were the victims of identity theft. We had a HELOC loan taken out when we refinanced our mortgage 4 years ago, and we've never used it. And just recently we received a statement saying that we owe a $1,000 payment on $100,000 that was disbursed, and we've never used it.
Mm.
And I got very upset by this, found out, I called the company that issued it that had the HELOC loan, and they said, yes, you did, and we have an account, and your address and phone number don't match what we have, which surprised me because the HELOC loan is based on the home in which we have the current address. But I called FTC and made the report at the Federal Trade Commission and went through their recommendations of things to do and made a police report. My question to you, is there anything else we should be doing
in the meantime.
Hmm.
So now that you have that police report, one of the things you're entitled to is to see the signature paperwork that was submitted on that loan. And you can request and demand that of the company that is demanding this payment of you. And then you can also dispute the payment because you're a victim of identity theft. With your FTC plan that you probably received, it probably talks about placing a security freeze on so that way no one else can do any damage or take out credit in your name. You probably want to also run one of your three free annual credit reports, each you and your husband, to make sure no one else has taken out any additional credit in your name and that you don't have other things lingering out there you're not aware of that will need to be cleaned up. One of the things, if you run into problems with this, that we do offer, we don't do remediation services at Consumer Protection, but we do assist victims with recovery in helping them communicate with the businesses if they're not cooperative and allowing you to assert your rights in that way. So you could then file an identity theft complaint with us if you can't get anywhere with the loan company.
Okay, so I don't need to file it with you right now unless I don't have... help with the loan company.
Yeah, you don't need to. You can, but you certainly don't need to. You can start the process all on your own. Our website has a lot of information as well on the security freeze and credit report that complement the FTC information that you've probably already received.
Yes, we did get we checked our security reports from all three companies.
Good.
The interesting thing is I tried to put a freeze on and I did the fraud alerts on all three companies, and then I tried to put a freeze on and the one company told me that it would be $15 a month.
In Wisconsin it was 10, but if you have that police report and you're a victim, it's free.
Okay.
So that's something that if you don't get anywhere with that, you file a complaint with us and we'll help you with that.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Thank you very much for calling. Ooh, that'd be a nasty surprise to get in the mail. Oofta. Philip in Kingston, thanks for calling. Hello.
Yes, hi. Great. Thanks for taking my call. Briefly, I bought a tablet online for my little girl, you know, so she would have something to watch and, you know, learn letters and things like that. And so when I received it, it was from a site that was selling another company's product. So I had to call the other company's product to register it so I could get this free Wi-Fi that comes with it. And when I called them, they couldn't recognize something called the SME or identification number, so they basically said it wasn't their product. So I contacted the seller, excuse me, and they said they'd be working on it. In the meantime, I would send an email from the manufacturer to Aramea to return it. I didn't know that because the original seller said they were still working on it. So then there was a one-month window to send it back. Okay, so I missed the one-month window. Within the email of that RMA, it said to, if you miss the 30-day, to contact us to reissue the RMA. When I contacted them, they said, well, there's only a 20-day warranty on this. But the site that I bought it from said it was a 90-day warranty. So when I contacted them to send it back, the RMA, it was still within the 90-day warranty. This isn't an issue really of a manufacturer defect and everything. This is possibly a knockoff product or a product that's not even theirs. So to me, it's two issues. It's either a gray market, a knockoff product, or it's false advertising because they would not honor the warranty. The seller says one warranty, the manufacturer cites another warranty, and then the final issue, they're saying it's not even their product. So then I said, well, I'm going to contact agencies, and they don't help me or do anything, or this went dead.
Hmm. So they hung up. So sounds like it is maybe time to file a complaint.
That's what I would recommend. I think that we would like to help him sort this out, and we would contact both the manufacturer and the dealer on his behalf.
So again, we've given this a number of times, but let's do it again. DATCP.WI.GOV is the place where you can go online, or you can just call 1-800-422-7128. But if you can get it online, that makes it quickens the process up a little bit, doesn't it?
Yeah, because the hotline's only staffed during business hours, and the website's there 24/7 for you.
Yeah, there we go. Good luck, Philip. Thank you. Dean in Mount Horeb, hello. Thank you for calling.
Yes, got a couple comments. One, in regards to the person who received the check, sometimes on the back of those checks, where you endorse the check, the fine print has you signing up for somebody, for something. So your signature by signing that check sometimes locks you into something. But the main reason I'm calling is these extended warranties you give with a credit card. I had a situation, you know, my credit card says, yeah, we'll extend the manufacturer's warranty for another year. Well, what happened was I had an item that I went to invoke that. And if you look at the fine print, it doesn't really extend the manufacturer's warranty. What it does is it says, well, we will repair it as long as the cost doesn't exceed your original cost. So let's say you buy a $100 item and you get it on sale for $50. They're only going to fix it up to $50. They're really not extending the manufacturer's warranty.
Mm. Well, that sounds like false advertising in a way, doesn't it? Or if they say that...
Right. So it's a misunderstanding. I mean, they're doing what they're saying, but people just think, oh, extended warranty. But you really need to look at those mm-hmm. terms and conditions of what it is they're offering. And that's the credit card one. So depending upon what you're buying, if you truly want an extended warranty on it that covers labor, repair, parts, and with no dollar limit type situation, then you may want to look at investing in some that are offered by the manufacturer at the time of purchase. I mean, depending upon what it is you're buying.
Yeah,
they're often offered.
Thank you, Dean, for calling. Appreciate it. Cheryl in Conover, your turn. Hi, Cheryl.
Hi. Thank you so much for taking my call. I have a bad cold, so I apologize. But, you know, I've been listening to the show, and I'm saddened. I am just saddened that people who know about elderly people who are subject to this, and I am 63 years old, and computer literate and smartphone literate, why are we not all banding together to stop this scamming of our elderly? I'm saddened by it. I'm just, in light of all of the things that have happened since November 8th, I'm very saddened. But I am more saddened that the attack is on us, on the elderly people who have been a part of this country and who are wanting to believe what you tell them.
Yeah, it saddens us too, Sandy.
Yeah, and elderly people are frequently targeted. They are not the most frequent victims, however, which is very reassuring to mm-hmm. know. We recommend that people do share their experiences and learn from each other. It's one of the best ways to stay protected. But probably the most important thing is that if you receive a solicitation of some kind, and quite often they're very high pressure, just stop and talk to somebody before you make that decision to give a credit card number or a social security number. It's okay to back out of a potential deal like that. But do share your experiences, and we do a lot of outreach to older citizens of this state and the supporting agencies. So it is really important to us as well.
And again, well, let's just mention here as we're winding up, the bulletin or the information materials that you have for the elderly.
Yeah, we have a publication called the Wisconsin Senior Guide, and it's available on our website free of charge. And if you don't have internet access or you'd like a hard copy, call our toll-free hotline and we'll mail you a copy free of charge.
And that number is 1-800-422-7128. Or, again, go online to datcp.wi.gov. Well, lots of bad things happening, as always, in the state. We'll look forward to your next visit, and hopefully a few of these issues will have been resolved by that time that we talked about today on the show. Michelle, Sandy, thank you so much.
Thanks, Larry.
Thanks, Larry.
Michelle Reinen and Sandy Chalmers from the Department of Ag, Trade, and Consumer Protection. They will be back on January 5th. Well, tomorrow at this time, it's Garden Talk. Liz Freemuth from the Garden Hoe will be with us to answer your gardening questions. Or no, I think we're going to take a look at Christmas in the garden. That tomorrow on the Ideas Network.